learning Nefesh HaChaim at the end of Perek Hey, chapter 5 of Shaar Beis, of the second gate. Just to recap where we're holding, we started Shaar Beis with a question: what does it mean when it says that we should daven to Hashem with our whole lives? L'avdei, which means tefillah, which means prayer. V'chol nafshecha, which means with your whole life. So what does it mean to daven to Hashem with your whole life? So, as an introduction, he hasn't actually answered the question, but he started with another subject to get to the answer. He asked the question, what does blessings mean? What are brachas? Why do we have an obligation to give a bracha? And what we said in short was that a bracha adds power to Hashem. It adds power to Hashem. And then he also explained to us that when you speak about adding power to Hashem, we're not talking about the highest aspect of Hashem, which is the essence of Hashem. That's Musay Yisbach, that the essence of Hashem, which is totally unknowable, something we can't know, something we can't label, something we can't describe in any way. It's something that's totally beyond any grasp. But what we're talking about is that aspect of Hashem, which is, we are able to grasp. And that's when we give a bracha, we give power to that aspect of Hashem, which is the influence of Hashem in this world. Now, it's Hashem's acts of kindness, His acts of justice, the way He interacts with us in this world is that's the part of Hashem that we know. That's the part of Hashem we give titles to, like the name Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei, which means mercy, or the name Elohim, which means justice. That's the part of Hashem we know and we interact with and we give titles to. And that's the part of Hashem we want to empower with our brachas. Because our brachas give power to Hashem that He can help us to get closer to Hashem. Right? In other words, the power gives. If the upper worlds are more powerful, then they're able to help us more. And if we get more help, then we can rise higher in terms of fulfilling our tachlis, our goal. Then he went on to another subject that, in terms of that aspect of Hashem which we know, the aspect of Hashem which we know has the resemblance of Adam. And as Hashem looks like man, or man looks like Hashem, the aspect of Hashem that we know, which according to what we learned before in the first Shaar, that the upper worlds are built in the form of the shape of a man. The upper worlds are in the shape of a man. But Hashem Himself, so to speak, and there's different psukim, there's different chazals, that the essence of Hashem, the part of Hashem that we know has the resemblance of a man. Hashem looks like a man, or a man looks like Hashem. Now what's the significance of that? We haven't explained that yet. But that's where we're holding right now. So here, the last paragraph of chapter 5 says as follows. Ushkur b'fi Rizal. Right? And it's already very comfortable in the mouths of Rizal. You know, it's something that's very fluent. Chazal mentioned this very easily and frequently. Sha'adam hu ikoinin v'diukan malko shel oilom. Yizbog shmoy. That a person himself is the resemblance. And he is, the, so to speak, like the statue. He is the image of the king of the world. May his name be blessed. Moshe Amru b'Sanhedrin, like the Moshe says in Sanhedrin, Lisalin nivlosui, don't leave his corpse hanging on a tree, hanging. In other words, the Chumash says that if a person is liable, skila, to be stoned, so after you stone a person to death, you have to hang him on a tree. But the Locha says, don't leave him hanging overnight. And in fact, they used to execute him just close to dark, close to nightfall, in which case they would, straight after he died, they would hang him on the tree, and then already 2 minutes later it was already nightfall, and they'd take him down straight away. And that's to fulfill the verse. It says, don't leave him hanging on a tree. Right? Why? Because the pasuk itself says, why shouldn't you leave him hanging on a tree? What's the problem? He's a murderer. Right? He's liable to death, and why shouldn't you leave him hanging on a tree? Kikilulis elokim toli. Because it's the curse of Hashem that's hanging. Hanging a human being is like cursing Chas V'Shalom, cursing Hashem. What's pshat? Hanging a person is like cursing Hashem. What does that mean? Tanya Amar Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir comes to explain it. Moshlu Moshe Lamar Dover Doime. They gave an analogy. Chazal gave an analogy to what can this resemble. What is this? How do we understand this? The Shnei Achim Toimim. There were two brothers who were twins. Echad Minuhu Melech. One was an outstanding individual. And he became king. He was appointed king. Imagine, he was an A student, and he did very well, and he got he graduated with honors, etc. And he was a very capable person, a very, very, very talented person. So one of the twin brothers became king. The Echad Yotze Lili Stois, and the other brother became a gangster. He joined the mafia. These two twin brothers, one's a mafia member, one's a king. Now they caught the mafia member, and he was a murderer, and he was a thief and a gangster. Tziva Melech Tlu. So they asked the king, what do we do with this gangster? He said, hang him. Put him to death. Kolai Roye Oise, but there was a problem. After they put this man to death, the twin brother of the king, Kolai Roye Oise, Oy Mehamelech Talui. Anyone who afterwards saw the corpse of this gangster hanging, right, the gangsters, they don't, no one knows gangsters, because they keep in shady places, they keep in dark alleys, no one knows what they look at. So when they saw this gangster hanging, they said, the king is hanging! It's the king hanging! So therefore, when the king heard this, he said, take him down, quickly take him down, we'd be embarrassing the king, why should the king be hung? Right, everyone thought that this gangster was the king, because it was had the face of the king. Upirish Rashi, so says Rashi, Af Adam Osui Beduk Nashil Mokum, and similarly, man is in the image of Hashem. In other words, therefore, if you have to hang a man, a human being, for committing a crime, don't leave him hanging, because that's a curse to Hashem. Because man is the resemblance of Hashem, so it's as if Hashem is hanging from a tree, and we can't embarrass Hashem, we can't shame Hashem by leaving a human being hanging on a tree. In short, we see from this Chazal, that Chazal take this very seriously and very literally, and it's from the Chumash, that man resembles Hashem. He's the resemblance of Hashem. And that's why we have a mitzvah, don't leave a man hanging on a tree. Ubim Shmois Rabba, and a similar midrash in Shmois, it's on the Pasuk Makke Ish V'Meis. It's on a different, from a different source. The Pasuk says Makke Ish V'Meis, if someone kills a man, he has to put to death. Marshal Odom Shekip, right? If one man kills another man, A kills B. So if A kills B, we have to put A to death. So the Midrash to explain this halacha, why are we putting A to death? Marshal Odom Shekip, Kipach Ikoinu Shel Melech. It's an analogy of a man who smashed the statue of the king. The king of a country had a statue in this town square of himself, big statue, and someone came with a sledgehammer and he broke the king's statue. So Omar Melech lekarosa shekol mishu nogevi koinu sheli hu oved. So the king summoned this person who had broken his statue, and he said, "Do you not know that anyone who touches the statue of the king is destroyed? You have to get the death penalty. You destroyed the statue of the king." So that's the Midrash. So on that, the Midrash says, Kachim horug odom nefesh, and therefore, similarly, if A kills B, if one person kills another person, ki'iluhu mavi ekoinu shel melech, as if he's destroyed the statue of a king. Because every human being is like a statue of Hashem. He's an image of Hashem. It's a walking image of Hashem. So if someone goes and kills another human being, it's like he's destroyed the statue of Hashem. And that's why he has to be put to death. Because it's an act of treason against the king. And that's what the same pasuk goes on to explain to us, Alzeki Betzelem Elokim Oses Adom, because Hashem created man in His image, and therefore every single human being is an image of Hashem, and that's what the pasuk says there by the mitzvah of one who killed another. It says of there, because man is in the image of Hashem, and therefore if you kill another man, it's as if you've hurt Hashem, and that's why you get the most severe punishment. Perik Vav. Now, just as the attachment, the connection, and the kium, the establishment or the survival of the soul of a person is dependent on the body, as the soul of the person's neshama right resides in the body, and the neshama only stays with the body, obviously, as long as the body is alive. The neshama is with the body as long as the body is alive. So therefore, the attachment of the neshama is dependent on the survival of the body, which is the survival of the body is through eating and drinking. A body needs to eat and drink. And without that, if the body doesn't eat and drink, so then the body will die, and the neshama will leave the body. So therefore, the neshama is dependent on the eating and drinking, not directly, but indirectly. Or build some tiporit istalik me'aguf, without that eating and drinking, the neshama will have to leave the body, because the body will die, and the neshama cannot live without the body in this world. Similarly, the attachment of Hashem's essence to the worlds, because Hashem, like the hidden part of Hashem, influences the worlds. So Hashem's influence on all of the worlds, Shehein Soid HaAdam HaGadol, which is the worlds, meaning the upper worlds are themselves the secret of Adam HaGadol. We said that the revealed part of Hashem, the revealed attributes of Hashem are arranged like a great man, Adam HaGadol, a great man, that's the upper worlds. So therefore their life force, which comes from the essence of Hashem, from Hashem himself, right, is dependent on that connection to those worlds, is dependent in order to that they should continue and that they should be established, that they should live on, and that Hashem should not never be disgusted with the worlds. He shouldn't say, I've had enough of these worlds, let's just destroy them. Right? Throughout the project, it's a mess. And you have an author who's writing a book, he says, no, it's all nonsense. He takes the book that he wrote, drops it in the dustbin. So the same thing, that Hashem should not be disgusted with his world and give up on his world. So Hashem decreed that it should be dependent. The fact that Hashem continues to sustain the worlds, meaning the upper spiritual worlds also, which come from the essence of Hashem, which are sustained through the essence of Hashem. So therefore, Hashem decreed that this should be oisek, this should be dependent on oisek hapera, on people learning Torah, umaisa mitzvahs, and doing mitzvahs, va'avoidus atvila, and serving Hashem with prayer, shall am segula of the Jewish people. And as the upper world, all of the upper worlds can only exist unless they receive food and drink. And the food and drink of the upper worlds is Torah and mitzvahs and davening. That's the world. Ubiltam. And if the Jewish people will stop serving Hashem, if they'll stop learning Torah, they'll stop doing mitzvahs, they'll stop davening. So then Hashem himself, the essence of Hashem, would remove his life force from the worlds. Right? In a single minute, everything would disappear into a puff of smoke. Everything would just disappear. You know, the upper worlds are the parallel of the body. And the Torah mitzvahs is the food. And the soul of the upper worlds is Hashem himself, the essence of Hashem, who sustains the worlds. So therefore, just like we said for a man, if a man stops eating and drinking, so then the body will die, so then the soul will leave the body. So the same thing, if the Jewish people stop doing mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs, so then the upper worlds will die, and Hashem will remove his influence, which is like the soul of the upper worlds. Hashem's influence is the soul of the upper worlds, so he will remove that soul, and that whole body will die. Will disappear in a minute. Because that body is dependent on Hashem's influence. Hashem is, so to speak, like the soul of the worlds. So that's the parallel we have. Continuing the idea we said before. We spoke before how man resembles Hashem. Man is in the image of Hashem. So here we have another parallel. That just like man needs to eat and drink in order to sustain his body, so that the soul will remain with the body, so too we have to do Torah mitzvahs, so that to sustain the upper world, so that Hashem himself will remain connected to the upper worlds and will continue to keep them going. L'chein amar Rizal, and therefore our sages have said, "More in tainis, my dichsiv ki ka'av ruchis hashemayim parasti eschem." There's a pasuk in Zechariah that says, "For like the four winds of the heavens, I have spread you out." For like the four winds of the heavens, I have spread you out. He's talking about the Jewish people. The Jewish people are scattered throughout the world. Right? You go anywhere in the world, you'll find a yid there, right? Okay, you'll find a yid. So, like the four winds of the world, I've scattered the Jews. But this verse doesn't say to the four winds of the world, Hashem has scattered the Jews. It says, like the four winds of the world, Hashem has scattered the Jews. So the Gemara says on that, Kashem she'iv shalo ilam beloi ruchus, just like it's impossible for the world to exist without the winds, you need all four winds for the world to function. Kach i'iv shalo ilam beloi Yisrael. So it's impossible for the world to exist without the Jewish people. It's impossible for the world to exist without the Jewish people. They are like the four winds. Just like the world needs the winds, it needs the Jewish people. And why does the world need the Jewish people? Because only the Jewish people do Torah and mitzvahs. And if there's no Torah and mitzvahs, there's no food for the upper world. And if the upper worlds don't receive food, they'll cease to exist. And therefore the whole world will cease to exist. Not for the Jewish people. Doing mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs, the world will not exist. Cannot exist. And therefore, just like the world needs the four winds, the world needs the Jewish people. V'hu she'amru b'Vayikra Rabba, and this is also Midrash, in Vayikra, on the pasuk Bochi Nafshis Hashem. We've mentioned this before in the last chapter. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Let my soul praise Hashem." Let my soul praise Hashem. We spoke about it a bit before. Why Dafke? Why the soul? Why must the soul specifically praise Hashem? What's the parallel between the soul and Hashem? Kimaro David liyos mekalis benafshoi laKodesh Bochu. What did David see that specifically with his soul he's going to praise Hashem? Let my soul praise Hashem. Why specifically the soul? Ela oma anefesh hazu. Right, this soul resembles Hashem. Right? Just like Hashem is not seen, so the soul is not seen. Just like the Hashem sustains the world, so the soul sustains the body, etc. All those parallels we spoke about. So anefesh hazu is this soul. Eino cheles beguf. Right, the soul doesn't eat anything of what the food, what the body eats. Right? And the body has a pizza and a beer, so the soul doesn't get any of the pizza or beer. It doesn't need it. It doesn't eat that stuff. It doesn't eat food. Right? And nefesh says, "Eino chiles beguf." VaKodesh Bochu ein lefon avachila. And a Kodesh Bochu also doesn't eat. You know, and that we mentioned this before also, that even though we do mitzvahs, Hashem doesn't need those mitzvahs. Hashem Himself, in terms of His essence, doesn't need our mitzvahs. And if we do averes, it doesn't hurt Hashem. Hashem is beyond anything. He's not affected, not by our averes, not our mitzvahs. So just like our soul don't eat from the food that our bodies eat, so too Hashem doesn't eat from the mitzvahs that we perform. The mitzvahs that we perform sustain the upper worlds, but they don't sustain the essence of Hashem. The real, the hidden essence of Hashem, He doesn't need to eat. So He's like the soul. The soul doesn't eat from the food we eat, and Hashem doesn't eat from the mitzvahs we perform. So therefore, there's the same parallel. Again, the same parallel we just said before, we've got it here as well. And also, we got exactly the same type of idea, the same approach, but Midrash Tehillim. This is another Midrash that just like the soul doesn't eat, and doesn't drink, he doesn't eat and doesn't drink. Eating and drinking, meaning he doesn't need our mitzvahs. Hashem Himself doesn't need our mitzvahs. Now, he picks up on the point here that it speaks about specifically eating and drinking more than other types of pleasures. As the other things that give us pleasure in this world besides eating and drinking, the other types of pleasures in this world, physical pleasures, which also are called pleasures. Yet, when we use this analogy, we use specifically eating and drinking as our example. So the idea of using eating and drinking is shmi'unu zeh inyan hanal. It's to hint to us this very idea where we've spoken about before, which is shagam shanefesh atzma lo yecheles lo yeshuiso, that the soul, just like that the soul itself doesn't eat or drink, as we said before, the soul doesn't eat and drink from what we eat and drink. In kol zeh, nevertheless, hare kol ikar chibur hanefesh im haguf ke'echod. The fact that the soul is connected to the body together, the kiyuma mispayoma vaktsuvim, and that it should be lost together, the soul together with the body, they should work as a team for the days of the life of a person, 120 years, whatever it is that he lives. Utolu alidea maichel shtiyas aguf. It's dependent on the eating and drinking of the body. But the soul doesn't eat and drink, but the soul needs the body to eat and drink for the soul to be together with the body. The Ketna Inyan, and that's exactly the same idea. That's what we're saying here, the same idea we said before. Even though certainly for the essence of Hashem, Hashem Himself, the higher part of Hashem, the hidden part of Hashem, right? He's not affected at all by any of the actions of our mitzvahs. He doesn't need our mitzvahs, just like our neshama doesn't need the food. Hashem Himself doesn't need the mitzvahs. They don't feed Him in any way. But Torah of Avodah Zarah, He doesn't need our mitzvahs. He doesn't need our Torah. He doesn't need our service, our prayers. And it doesn't affect Him at all in terms of His essence. As we wrote before. So therefore, that's the idea that Hashem doesn't eat or drink. As we said before. Amnam, however, Hashem Himself doesn't eat and drink. However, He doesn't eat and drink mitzvahs and our Torah and other. He needs none of that. It doesn't affect Him. However, kol ikar inyan hischabrusa yisborch el ha'olamos. However, the whole idea of Hashem's attachment to the upper worlds, shemesudorim ke'echod ketavnis odom, that the upper worlds are arranged in the form of a man, b'chol ha'protim, right? Just like the form of a man, there's arms, there's legs, there's a body, there's the head. So just like in that same form, the upper worlds are arranged. the Ever Achila Kulam, and all of the different limbs, which eat also, the right part of the body is that there's a stomach which eats, which digests the food, etc., which sustains the body. So Hashem decreed that, all of this, the sustaining of the upper worlds, which as we said is like the form of a body, is dependent on our good deeds, the good deeds of the holy nation and the Jewish people. Because that is the eating and drinking of the worlds. That they should perpetuate, they should be established, and that they should be able to continue to generate their holiness and their light in order to shine down on us, to send their energy on us, their power, to empower us. Through the connection to Hashem Himself as is fitting. As Hashem sustains the world, and the world sustain us. Which is according to the Rotzen Hashem, which is Hashem's desire. Hakol lefi roiv ha-maisa shel am segula, and all of it depending on the quantity of our good deeds. The more good deeds, the more we empower the upper worlds. The more we empower the upper worlds, the more that we are able to receive from the upper worlds, because we are empowering them with our good deeds. So all being dependent on the quantity and the quality of the deeds of the Jewish nation, of the chosen nation. Sheheima mesaknim uma'achdim ha'ilomos, because they are the ones who remedy, and they are the ones who unite all of the upper worlds. Because the world, the body has to meld together. The body works, functions as a whole. When your arms don't work separately from the rest of your body. Your whole body works as a whole. So therefore, we need the food and sustenance to unite the body, not just to sustain the body, to unite the body, all the different parts of the upper worlds. That they should be fitting to receive the influence, the outpouring of the light and the holiness of Hashem. So just like with food, which adds strength to a person, person's feeling weak, and he has a good meal and he suddenly feels stronger, and it also improves the body. But the food is necessary for functioning of the body. The body functions properly. A person hasn't been eating, so his skin doesn't shine, or his limbs don't work properly. When he eats, so then everything suddenly everything comes, his hair starts growing again, right? The whole person functions properly because of the food that he eats. So the same thing, the upper worlds function properly through our mitzvahs. The pasuk in Mishlei that says, go and eat my food. Go eat my food. Lachmu, make a meal of my meal. What is Hashem's meal? That's Torah mitzvahs. Go and feast yourself on my food, says Hashem. My food being Torah mitzvahs. Shepeshur zal ubere mehemne ubmashas ekev. Different places. All explain that this pasuk. Lachmu belachmi. Go feast on my food, says Hashem. Ala Torah. Go feast on my food means go feast yourself on Torah. Feast yourself on Torah. This, because that is called the bread of Hashem. V'hainu lachmi ma'ash, that's my food. Hashem's food, my food, that's Torah. Kaviyokol lachmu yisbor, so to speak, the Torah we learn is the food of Hashem. Like we said before. K'mo she'amru v'pashas eikav sham, takin psoy lemaroch, hachin shulchan ladonecha, prepare a table for your master. Prepare it, you say to the servants, prepare a table for your master, right? The master's coming home, they can hear his car in the driveway. So the servants say, oh, right, the master's coming home. Quickly, let's prepare the table for the master. Let's quickly lay out the tablecloth and the knives and forks and the crockery and the delicious food. Put it into the microwave, etc. Right? Prepare a table for your master. So therefore, that's the expression of learning Torah, is preparing a table for your master, because that is, so to speak, Hashem's food. Over Parshas Balak, the pasuk Yimenu Seichel, from it you shall eat. It's also it's a midrash. It's a zoya in Balak. On the pasuk imenu teichel, from it you shall eat. Right, ahu tinra takifa, this mighty rock. The zoya speaks about the mighty rock. Now the mighty rock refers to the sphera of malchus, right, the attribute of malchus. That's the tenth sphera, and that's what sustains this world. This world comes from attribute of Malchus. So this, the attribute of Malchus is called the mighty rock. this mighty rock that has the merit to sustain the world, he sustains it. He refers to the Talmud Chacham, the one who sits and learns Torah. He sustains this rock. He feeds the rock. He feeds the sphere of Malchus. Torah scholar sits and learns, he feeds the sphere of Malchus. He gives it food. Begin from it you should eat. That's the pasuk. From it you should eat. It's talking about Teter and Maisin Teum. And all of the food which sustains the world is all from it. Teter and Maisin Teum. V'ayin oid v'rei mehemne b'har, Pashas b'har, Pashas Pinchas, Resh Omed Beis, of the Zohar Sham. V'kein omaha magid le'beis Yosef. And similarly the magid told the Beis Yosef. We know the Beis Yosef, who authored the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karui. So he was learnt when he's in his youth, and even later in his life, he learnt Mishnayos over and over and over again. It's the basis of his wisdom. He was a tremendous Moki, Kula Terekula, but the basis of his wisdom was all that he knew Mishnayos, he learnt them over and over and over again. And therefore, because he learnt Mishnayos to such a large degree, he merited that a special angel who's appointed over the Mishnayos, the angel who's appointed on Mishnayos, came and revealed itself to the Beis Yosef. And he was called the Magid, the one who told him things. This angel came down, who was the Mayor, and was the angel of the Mishnayos, came to the Beis Yosef, and he told him things. And he wrote a book of all the things this angel told him. And it's called, we have the book today, it's called Magid Meshorim. It's a book of the Rabbi Yosef Karo that he received this information from this Magid. So here he's quoting his father. Kain omar ha-Magid, the Beis Yosef, the Magid, that this angel said to Rabbi Yosef Karo, be'inyan ha-man, when he was speaking to him, explained to him the man. Right, the man is the food we ate in the desert for 40 years. To kol ha-nivroim tzrichim mozen. So he said to him as follows, all creatures need food. All creatures need food. Afilus spherus. And when we say all creatures need food, we don't just mean people or animals need food. And we don't just mean grass needs food, because the grass gets nourishment from the ground, it gets nourishment from the rain. We don't just mean grass needs food. Rocks need food. Rocks also have to be sustained. Everything needs to be sustained. Waterfalls need food. Afilus spherus. And even the upper heavenly spheres, the heavenly spheres, right, the heavenly constellations, they need to be sustained. The upper spheres, they all need food. The inun net solim tzvicha kaviyochel mezoin. They all need to be fed. V'ha mezoin the spherin. And what food is it that feeds the spheres, the upper spheres? What is it that sustains the spheres? Iu teru maisim teivim. That is teru maisim teivim. So another source for the same idea, that it's specifically teru maisim teivim that sustains the world. Right? Maisim teivim, the avdim letata. And Maisim Tevim, and the entire Maisim Tevim that we do down in this world below, is what stains the worlds above. Our Mosin shall spheres who are Tevim Maisim Tevim Shoisim Lamata. The food of these spheres is the Tevim Maisim Tevim we do in this world. Ein Shamboirah, he speaks there at length. Berei Mehemne Mishpotim, another source from the Zohar, says as far as Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Right, the Zohar brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, right? Holy is the Jewish people to Hashem. Reishis tvuosei, they are the first, his first produce. The first produce, like a farmer who plants a field of wheat or field of barley. So the first wheat that grows, that's the first of his produce. So the Jewish people are called Hashem, the first of Hashem's produce. The Jewish people are called Hashem's produce. Yisrael iskariu ilona rabba v'takif. So says the Zohar, Israel, the people of Israel are called a great and mighty tree. A great and mighty tree. Umozen lekule bay, and the food of all the world is from this tree. The entire world is out of tree, produces fruits, and the whole world is dependent on the fruits of this tree. As the world meaning the upper world, they need the fruit of the tree. Bay raisa, the umozen le'el, because in this tree, in the Jewish people, is Torah. The Jewish people learn Torah, which is the food of Le'elo, of the upper worlds, Beitz Lusa, and in this tree, the Jewish people is prayer. The Jewish people don't just learn Torah, they also daven. The Yuma Zoyna Latata, which is the food of this world. This world is sustained specifically by prayer. The upper worlds are sustained more by Torah. So therefore, that's the Jewish people who are called a mighty tree, that they sustain the upper and lower worlds through their Torah and their tefillah. And even the angels, do not have food except from Israel, from Israel's deeds. Right? The people of Israel's deeds, that's what sustains the angels. That's the food of the angels, is our good deeds and our Torah. The love the Israelis asku beraisa. If it wasn't for the fact that Am Yisrael was busy learning Torah, lo havi nachin lo in mezoina mesita deraisa, they wouldn't have any food from the that aspect of Torah. The insulu le'etz, which is compared to a tree. When we speak about Torah, what do we call the Torah? Eitz Chaim Hi. It's a tree of living life. The tree is really the Torah. The Torah is the tree. And the tree produces fruit. So that's our Torah. That's the tree that feeds the world. Feeds all the upper worlds. Eitz Chaim Hi. So that's the Torah which is compared to a tree. Hadol Chsiv. And that's the Pasuk. Eitz Chaim Hi. It's a tree of life. It's a tree of life. A tree of life is the Torah. Right? There were two trees in Gan Eden. One was the tree of life. Another was the tree of knowledge. Tree of knowledge was the tricky one. That was the one that Adam sinned with. But the tree of life is all Torah, is all goodness. And its fruits, and the fruits of that tree is the mitzvahs. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, holy is Israel to Hashem. Yisrael nikru ilon godol v'chozeg. Israel is called the great and mighty tree. Mozen lekoil tzomech boy. And food for all grows from this tree. Boy atir shi mozen lemalo. In it is Torah, which is the food above. Boy atfile shi mozen lemato. In it is prayer, which is the food below. Even the angels only get sustained, they have their food from Israel. If Israel were not busying themselves with Torah, so therefore the angels would not get food from the Torah. The Torah being the one that which is compared to a tree, and that's what the Pasuk says, Eitz Chaim Hi. Ulapri, and from its fruits, Shehu Mitzvah. Varamakzal, Ramosha Kadavera, also one of the great Kabbalists that we know. Romas Haini Besefer Elima, he also hints to this idea in his book called Elima. Uvudvar Bezeh Besefer Shoyme Munim, which the Shoyme Munim brings, quotes the Ramak. See over there, Utilas Yaakov, another Sefer, Beresh Sefer Dechamunah Shaloi. Zeinion Maimrom, and this is what Chazal have taught, the same idea. Israel mefanasim lavim shebashamayim. Israel sustain their father in heavens. Right, so to speak, we feed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Israel sustain their father in heavens. Perek Zayin, chapter 7. The Kain behefach. Now the opposite is also true. Hamaisim asher lo tovim chas v'sholem. Our deeds which are not good deeds chas v'sholem. Our sins chas v'sholem. Heim el ha'ilomis kinyan ha'machalim ha'roim. Then to the world like bad food. If you eat food that's bad, it's gone bad. Not bad, that food that's rotten. Or food that's infected. Or it's wormy food. So therefore our veras are like bad food. Hashem's boyin yonim v'ezrat Hashem, which we're now going to explain. K'moshe amru b'rea mehemne. Alright. So we're going to explain the effect of the bad food. But first, why are various called bad food? So he brings a source. Right? The Re'a Mehemne, the Zoya and Parshas Emor. V'yuma de Rosh Hashanah. So it says as follows. On the day of Rosh Hashanah, this is what the Zohar says. On the day of Rosh Hashanah, Nafik Yitzchak b'leto chodoi. Yitzchak went out by himself. Now Yitzchak there doesn't refer to Yitzchak Avinu, it's referring to Midas Hadin. Because we know that there's Midas HaChesed, there's Avram, and Yitzchak is Midas HaDin, Chesed and Din, and Yaakov Avinu is Midas HaRachamim, which is in between the two. Midas HaRachamim, that there's still Din, but it's delayed, because there's Rachamim until Hashem executes the Din. Hashem gives the time to correct our sins. But anyway, Yod Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom HaDin, which is when we're judged, so says the Zohar, Yod Nofik Yotz Yitzchak L'chudoi, Yitzchak goes out by himself, the Kori Le'esov, and he calls to Esov. Now remember that Yitzchak loved Esav. So Yitzchak goes out by himself, that's Midas HaDin, and he calls to Esav, La Tomele Tavshilin de Kol Alma. And he says to Esav, bring me food from all of the worlds. Bring me food. Yitzchak, Midas HaDin, says, bring me food. And he says to Esav, bring me foods. Kol Chod Gefum Ochoi. From each world according to its ways. Bring me food from all of the worlds. V'shochi Van Ase. And Yitzchak lies on his bed, right? The bed of. Right, we speak about the bed of justice. He lies on his bed. Ased the dinner, the bed of justice. The Kori le'esav, and he calls to Esav, Omer, tzudeli tzai, go hunt for me hunting. Go hunt for me meat. V'oseling matamim, bring me delicious food. Bring me the food of the worlds. He doesn't bring the whole source there because there's a whole story there how Yaakov comes in and he tries to interfere. So, and then the apostle writes that Yaakov was there, but Yeach Yotzoi, and it was when Yaakov left the Esav Ochiv Bo Mitzeda. That's when Esav came. Esav came afterwards, after Yaakov had left. Esav Ochiv Bo Mitzeda. So Esav comes from his hunting. Toon Tuudei, bringing all sorts of parcels. He comes from his hunting expeditions. He comes with parcels of food. Ta'unu tunemi of the alma, of the deeds of the world. He comes with a collection of all the deeds of the world. V'yasgam hu matamim, and he makes delicious food from the deeds of the world. That chodid l'shoine, he's got a very sharp tongue. Esav, he's got a sharp tongue. L'mitan tainu, is to bring all sorts of claims against the Jewish people. What's the hunting of Esav? It's all the Maisim Ra'im, all of our bad deeds that we've done, all of our avers that we've done. But he brings all of our bad deeds, and he's got his sharp tongue, and he's able to. He prepares the food. You know, he comes with claims, with accusations, with all sorts of castigations, all sorts of accusations against the Jewish people. V'yomer, he says to Yitzchak, that says Esav to Yitzchak to Midas Adin, Yokum Avi, rise. My father, Yis'ah b'dinoi, let the attribute of justice be risen, let it rise up, v'yoichal, and let it eat, kama uvdin bishin dekol alma, the evil deeds, the bad deeds of all of the worlds, all of their various worlds, rise, he says to his father, to me, this adin, rise, and eat the bad deeds of the worlds. V'yom Rosh Hashanah, yoytzi Yitzchak b'levodui, on Rosh Hashanah, Yitzchak goes out alone, that we say is Midas Adin. He calls to Esav, Lahatim lo tapshilim shel kol ha'olam, to bring him tasty dishes from every world. Kol echad lefi darko, every word according to its ways. V'shoichev al Midas Adin, and he's lying on the couch of justice, on the bed of justice. V'koyer le'Esav, and he says to Esav, V'omet tzudeli tzad, go hunt for me hunting food. Go hunt for me meat. V'oselim matamin, make for me food, cook for me food, prepare for me food. V'yach yotzo, and it'll be afterwards, after Yaakov leaves, that Esav comes in. Esav ochi bo mitzeidoi, Esav comes from his hunt. Ton mosois, bringing bundles, bringing giant, all sorts of parcels. Mimaisa ulam, from the deeds of the world. V'yaskam hu matamim, he also makes delicious food for Yitzchak. Chided l'shoni, he sharpens his tongue with accusations against the Jewish people. Lito in Tainus, with all sorts of claims against the Jewish people. For Yomin, he says, Yokum Ovi, rise my father, Yisoyre Bedinov, and let the judgment against the world be aroused. V'yoichel kama maisim royim mikol oilam, and eat the bad deeds of all of the worlds. V'betikunim tikun chof, another source, v'oseli matamim kasher havti, also the same idea, make for me foods that I love. The Midas Hadin likes to hear the sins that we've done. It reads as follows. Let me start again. And the tikkunim says like this: make for me delicious food, asher havti, the food that I love. It's from positive mitzvahs. The food that I love is all the mitzvahs we've done. That's the food that the heavens love. And from all the negative commands, from all the averas that were done, panosa l'samach mem, that'll be panosa to the sotan. Right, so from our good deeds is panosa from the upper worlds to the upper worlds, to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is sustained by our good deeds, and our bad deeds, that is food for the sotan. Lamad Oved Aloyu, right? On those things that we transgressed. The Ilan Have Kariv Esav Yitzchak, and it's these bad deeds that Esav brings to Yitzchak. Omele Yokum Ovi, Esav represents the sotan. Esav is the Sotan, he is the Yetzahor, he is the Malach HaMovis, he is Esav the Sotan. And that's what Esav brings to Yitzchak, Omele Yokum Avi Yochul Mitzayid Benoi, rise my father and eat from the hunting of your brothers. The Salach Men B'Ginayu HaVakari L'Svoila, right, the Sotan comes to the left side, to the left side of Yitzchak. The left side represents Din, justice, right, the right side is Chesed, the left side is justice. So he comes towards the left side, V'atame L'Kut Shabricha Michuvin D'Benei, and he brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the liabilities of his children, all of the sins of his children, the inun macholim miririm, which are bitter foods. So this is the idea here. We're starting to see from sources, different sources, that just like our good deeds are delicious food for the upper worlds, and they sustain the upper worlds, so too our bad deeds and our sins, these are bitter foods, and these are rotten foods, and these are bad foods, which harm the world, which sicken the world, and actually cause damage to the upper worlds. Okay, we'll continue with this next time.